Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Walter Davis with Progress in the World radio show coming to you from Canyon Lake, California, where we're expecting temperatures to remain in the triple digits again today. They keep saying that we're going to be in the 90s, and it continues to be in the 100s. So we're told it's going to be in the 90s today, but I'm expecting it to be in the 100s, as it always is here in this area. Today we're going to be having a discussion about the power of true friendship. Our guest is Dr. Carol, the author of the upcoming book, Heal Your Life, 25 Ways to Unleash Your Innate Healing Powers by Finding Your Purpose and Connecting with a Higher Power. She's a board-certified OBGYN and primary care specialist and an intuitive and spiritual leader who has helped thousands of men and women for the past four decades. Her life purpose is to educate as many people as possible through telephone consultations, her writing, speaking engagements, podcasts, radio shows, etc. We're covering part 19 today in the series of radio shows that we've been doing on this topic and the book. And again, you can pre-order the book here at the link, which is contained within the body of this broadcast and on the Facebook postings as well as the blog postings. And we're expecting to do this show for only 30 minutes today unless we get a lot of callers. So we'll see what happens as we move forward. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carol.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, we hope we're having a wonderful show for our listeners. And something weird is happening this morning. We are about 8 o'clock now in Pacific time, and it's sprinkling. I'm telling you, when you see how things are changing, it's just like usually the hottest time that we have here in San Diego, but now the temperature, it's 67. It's just like we're usually 90. We have 97, so we have 30 degrees below, which is good. My plants love it. And then now sprinkling, that means my water bill is going to be much less, so which is something positive about it. And now what we're going to talking about today is about friendship. Friendship is very important in our lives. In this day and age where people are so busy at work, they are so busy with children, and especially with midlife women, the women that they deal with, they have their children or they take care of their elderly parents, finding themselves in the sandwich generation. And it might be very difficult for people to go and have a strong friendship. And especially now with these days that people feel they constantly talking to people on the internet, like on Facebook, they have so many Facebook friends. And then there was, I saw a little in a comic strip that say they show the wife with the children at the funeral, and they have the coffin there, and the priest, and the comment was, and he had so many Facebook friends. And then I guess the new generation most probably being raised with having friends on Facebook, and then maybe it will be something that they grow up with, and then that would be sufficient for them. But my generation, or the people in their 40s and 50s who are more responsive to communicating personally with people and friendship, and it is not as simple. And if you look at science, what science has said, the more friends you have, the better your personal health. And we have Jen Yeager, the author of Friendship Shift, said the power of friendship and how it shapes our lives. The right friends can help you feel worthwhile, help you with school, work, parenting, and in old age is even more fun when you have friends that you can share with things with. And also studies have shown that the least friends that you have, the worse your health is. It's because the missing link of somebody you can share. Over the years, when I was in private practice, I have I always see my patients are very healthy. They're in old age, are very healthy. And when I think back about it, it's just like I felt many patients didn't have somebody they could confide in. And then the relationship we had was when they come for their annual checkup, or sometimes they would start having a problem, they would come and talk to me. So I felt they considered that I was that friend, that somebody that they could trust, that they can talk about anything. So they, when I asked them years later, they're in good health, and they would say, you know what, I always considered you to be a friend and somebody I know I could talk to, and if you have a problem, at the beginning of a problem, I can come to you and have and we discuss it, and it will make me understand that the reason led whether I couldn't sleep, I was anxious, or I was having irregular bleeding, it wasn't because something was wrong with me. It's because I was stressed and you were able to discuss it. So having the more friends that you have, the more friends when you have a problem that you can discuss it with, the better it is. And then I didn't realize the power of friendship until one day I got a phone call from a dear friend of mine, Nicole. Nicole, we met when we played volleyball in Haiti. She was a big star. She ended up going to Mexico City to the Olympics. I didn't go myself for other reasons, but I've known her for a while. But then we became friends when we met in New York years later, and we realized we wanted to go to medical school, and we ended up in Mexico City, in Guadalajara, to go to medical school. So through the 4 years we were together, we were roommates, and I had to learn about how to become a friend with her, because at the time it was like, if you do something for me, I just don't talk to you. And Nicole, she was so outgoing, so beautiful, and then so we will argue about something. She loved to argue. I love to argue, but she loved to argue even more. So what happened is when I remember one day we were going to see a movie, and then we had that horrible argument, and I said, "That's it, I'm going to move out. I cannot stand this woman anymore." And then I started to study, and then about half an hour before the movie, we were supposed to go to a movie, and then there was a knock on my door, and I said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Oh," she called me Caroli. Time to go to the movie. And I said, "I don't want to go to the movie with just Carolee. We just had an argument." And then so because of her, she changed my life. So I had to learn that, yes, you can argue, and then you can still be friends. And then it was like, and then I remember for years to come, we've spent time together as much as we can. And then the first son, I'm the godmother of her first son, Philip. And then I never forget that, and how touching it was for me when she called me the day Philip was going to college. And she said, "Carolee, you know something? I wish that my son, your godson, would find a good friend in college like you." And then I realized, oh, my God, this is so beautiful. My life has been enriched with having people I was able to keep a friendship over the years, and it still happens. So whenever I have something that I have to say, something is going on in my life. I remember I was in New York when I had the panic attack when I was 50 years old, and then I was on a book tour, and then guess who took me all around, because book tour is nothing fancy. It's just like you go from one Barnes and Nobles or to the next or whatever it is, and you go and wait and see strangers. But Nicole was there with me, because I always wanted to have two books. And I would say, "I'm going to write and I'm going to have two books in Barnes and Nobles." At the time, there was no internet and things like that. And then there she was, and she looked at me, her eyes popped out, and she said, "Carolee, you have two books at Barnes and Nobles." And then she was there with me all the time. And it is just like, And I remember when I had the panic attack, 2 days later, she came to visit me, and she looked at me, and she was horrified. "What's wrong with you?" I remember she was like, I could feel the helplessness. So a friend can be the mirror for you in good time, in bad times, and in being there for you. And then so So this is Nicole in my life, but I have had many friends over the years. I'm lucky that I have friends from all different backgrounds. So, and if you have all different kind of friendship, there were some people, for example, there is Lori. We've been working together for 20 years. We started in 1997. And then we have a different kind of friendship. And then it's just like we meet every Saturday. We go and walk. We go shopping. If it's raining, we go to we go by the lake or by the ocean. And then she's always been there with me, all the ideas of my books that I were created. That was Lori. And I would just discuss it with her. And then she helps me putting my office together, dismantle this, doing this, everything I'm doing. She's there with me in person. Nicole is over the phone, but I have her in person. So what I've learned with Lori is that you, again, things that started with Nicole, that you have to learn how to disagree. So let's say you have a friend. We need friends. We need sometimes it could be your siblings. I just happen also that I have my siblings, like my sister, Marie's. We grew up together, and then so I would consider we are best friends. And sometimes she say, "You get on my nerves," and I say, "You get on my nerves too." But how do you have a friendship, whether with a sibling? I remember when I was, my mother had four, six children. I'm the oldest, and then there are four of us women. I have a relationship with my brother, but with girls, you're supposed to be having a closer friendship. But my sister was born I was 18 years old when she was born. But then we didn't have much in common. But then what happened is, I remember, you know, you hear you have to have friends, and I try to be friends with my sister, but then we have the age difference, and she's. I never. One day we were having whatever issues we were having, and then she just like was so fresh, which is in my culture. Being the oldest, you have more. They're supposed to respect you, but she was so fresh, and I remember talking to a friend who's a therapist, and she said, she can be your sister. She doesn't have to be your friend. So that means also, doesn't matter who the person is, you have to have boundaries with that friend, with whether it's a sibling and how you develop it. Of course, I remember I called my mother who was alive then, and I said to my mother, I don't want to have anything to do with her. My sister was living in Panama then. And then I said, I didn't want to waste my money to call her long distance to tell her. And I just stopped talking with her. So whenever we have a family reunion, I'll be very distant. But then something happened. She got pregnant, and she was living with her husband. Family was far away. And during her pregnancy, our friendship grew stronger. And then I remember I was there when the baby was being born. Because my mother was going to fly to go and pick her, and her husband had to go to pick her up, and she went in quick labor. I was there with her. When they brought the baby, and the next day, her husband just went to the bathroom, and then they brought the baby, and I was there. So there was a special moment, and those moments bonded us. So it's just like what we do, we have people in our lives, they don't have to be blood-related. They could be friends. They could be people we met, and then they become very close. And then the next part of the show, we're going to discuss what to do when you are the one who's the let's say the bad guy in the relationship, and what to do when you are in a relationship and then the other person is making it difficult, and when to know how to let things go.
So what I'm hearing you say is that friendships can be challenging, that people can have differences, and yet you can still be friends even though you have arguments. And just because somebody is your sister or your son or a relative of any type, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be your friend. just as well. So human relationships are quite complicated, and it takes some real skill sets and special circumstances sometimes in order to assuage differences.
Yes. And one of the things I need to add is that I remember I had a patient who came in, many patients, and they have the idea that they have to be the children's friend. I guess maybe because I was raised in the culture, just, you know, there is a parent and there's a child, and there are something boundaries that you have to keep. And I remember many times the way it happens is just like, maybe the mother wasn't there for somebody. There was no mother there, and then they felt totally abandoned, and then they had nobody to talk to. They felt like, and then also there was abuse that occurred. So the person will say to themselves, consciously or unconsciously, I want to be different. I'm going to be different with my child, and then so essentially, they become a friend. And then you hear a child say, I don't want to be your friend. And then I have a mother coming and crying and having problems and anxiety. And then, oh, it's because they're having issues with their daughter or son who's you're not my friend. And I said, I'm so sorry. The person doesn't have to be your friend. You're the parent, especially a teenager, you know, when they're going through their own issues, trying to find themselves. You can be there. They're not the person you're going to have the confidence. That's the worst thing that a parent can do, is have a young child being the confidence, especially if there is a separation. Let's say, especially now these days, they have joint custody. So each parent is trying to be the friend, quote, of the child. And essentially, the child ends up losing, because what happened is there is no parent. I have a friend who wrote a book, there were no parents there. It's not that nobody was there, but the person was there, but there was sometimes the child become the parent. And then because the mother wants to be the friend and having to confide whatever is happening to them, or talking bad about another spouse. So it is very tricky. So you have to be careful who are your friends are. If you have a child, if the child is supposed to be, you're supposed to be the parent, not the friend. And I see the detriment that I've caused, because I see the parents, I see the children now who's grown up, because they felt that they had to take care of the parent, or there were too many things that they know or they didn't want to know. So one have to be very careful when it's come to parenting, and then quote friends. You're the parent and there is the child. When the person gets older, yes, there is a way. There is a friendship. The person is older. There are things you do together. But there always have to be that boundaries of the parent and the friend. Unless the person come and deserve it, and then as time goes up, when the person grow up and they have issues, because first they're going to hit your guts anyway, because you see there was whatever it's wrong with their life, they will say, "Do you did that to me?" But then what you're going to do is just like the child has to earn that friendship as an adult, two mature adults. So that I have to add that when it comes to friendship with an adult and with a child and the parent.
So what I'm hearing you saying is that there are a lot of people who co-mingle and confuse their relationships with children, and they're attempting to be friends with their child when really they're supposed to be something else.
Yes, there's supposed to be a boundaries. There is a boundaries between a parent and discipline, because you cannot discipline your friend, and the child, because they're their friend, they feel, you know, and how can you discipline me? And so it's very difficult. So there is some lines that have to be crossed. So if you're having difficulty with children, one of the stressors that people come with is that they're having difficulty with children. So you have to be asking yourself, am I doing healthy parenting? Am I doing my child a disfavor for trying to be, quote, their friend, instead of having a healthy boundaries that so many, those I see who are complaining of they're having problems, because they don't have that. So they have to have that boundary.
And that's very difficult, you know, for a lot of people who really don't know how to have relationships. I've seen that, whereas people are not able to speak on an emotional level, and they don't really understand the roles that are being played in various relationships. So that might be very difficult for some parents. And of course, you have the family roles that are coming into place as well, the enabler, the scapegoat, the lost child, etc. So people are changing as relationships evolve just as well, making it very complicated for those who really don't have the skill sets to pursue these things properly.
Yes. Okay, so now we're going to talk about what it is if you're the one who does something with the friendship, and how do you mend that, and when do you know to let it go. Then I give once I took a course on a self-help course, and I was trying to find myself, and it's been over almost 5 years that I was working with Lori every Saturday morning, and all the things that she was helping me with. In the course, they say you're going to find four people where you're going to ask them, what do they think about you? Sincerely, point blank. Oh my God, did I get it? I was blown away. I thought I had a perfect friendship with Lori, but then she said to me, oh my God, you really want me to be honest? So it's just like, I'm giving her a chance to be honest. She says, sometimes you're very insensitive about what I feel. You have a tendency to interrupt me when I'm saying something. And then sometimes I make her feel that our input was not valuable. And she was considering whether she wanted to end it. I was blown away. And I'm saying, oh, my God. So sometimes taking inventory with your friend can be the best thing I can ever do. So when she said that, I cried. I know exactly where I was. We walked by a lake on Saturday mornings, and I know exactly where in that portion of the lake I was when she told me that. I cried, and I said, oh, my God, this is what I've been doing to you? I said, I love you so much because I have a very strong personality. And then I said, and she said, yes. So what did I do? So 13 years later, we're still friends. One of the things, then, if you have a friend and then you go and ask her, how come the friendship is not working? Because you have to have friends for your own sake, for your health, you have to have friends. And then, so what I did, and it's something you can do too, I right there in the moment, I told her all the positive things, all these things that she has done for me. And also, first, I apologize. I apologize for unconsciously what I was doing. And in telling her, I wanted to keep the friendship. It was very important to me. I just laid my heart out at her feet. And I thanked her for being honest because it took a lot of energy for her, a lot of strength to be honest. And I promised her that I'll be more aware in the future, because now she told me how I was hurting her. I was going to be more aware during our conversation. And then, so, for example, there were things we agree, and I told her, what are the things we disagree about? And then, so, of course, politics. There were so many different things. So we sat down that day, we walked, we talked, we cried. And I say, we agree that there were things we will never talk about. We will never, the things that we agree to disagree, that our friendship, when we walk on Saturdays, we want to continue doing it. And that was 13 years ago. There were things that were out of subjects that we'll never discuss together. And what we put together was, when we are starting to cross somebody else's, when she's crossing my boundaries or I'm crossing her boundaries, what to do? And I would just say, okay, we're not going to go there. And then, so every time, we'll be together, I'm always so conscious and so aware. Somebody who loves me so much, who put up with me, and then, it's because she cared about me. That's why she stayed my friend. She could just go away. But She believed in what I did. She helped me a lot with when I was closing my practice, my center, my books, and everything. She's I call her my right arm. So every time I'm with her, and that's what I do with other people that I consider friends, I always tell them I love them. I always tell them, if I do anything to hurt you, please let me know. And I'm consciously aware. And then now it becomes a second nature when I have people. I don't have very close, a lot of close friends. Those I have, I cultivate them. Because after a certain time, you don't have much in common with somebody. And then, so you have different people, you do different things. But whenever I'm with a friend, I am aware of what is working, what is not working. And then always be ready to apologize. So the person just say, oh, that's you. And I say, oh, okay. Just like, and just to give you an idea, she always drives. She picked me up. She lives about 2 blocks away, and we go and walk. 20 years now. And then in the beginning, I was used to tell her, oh, there is a parking. She said, I am the one who drives. Leave me alone. I know what to drive. So I didn't know I was bossy. Even I was the driver, how they call it, drive, you're the passenger, and I'm the driver as well. And then I stopped. So we'll be talking. And eventually, because we 15 years into this, we will be going somewhere, and she got lost. And then she misses the exit. And she said, you didn't tell me. I said, oh, we agreed, and I'm not supposed to tell you anything. And then it's just now. So slowly, she said, you know what? You know, we're talking. Well, we started talking about something funny. So that's okay if you tell me, hey, woman, make it right, make it less. So we took something that used to be such a something that would be so painful in the beginning, and then we make it now. It's just like, it's like we say, are we married or something? It's just like, she's my best friend. What do you do now if you have a patient, if the person who's causing the problem, what do you do? I see a lot of patients who come to me and say, she was my friend, and then now it was very important to me, but we're not friends, and, or the relationship is not working, whatever. So there were some tips. And I'm saying, what I say to my patients is just like, people come into your life for a season, for a reason, one reason. A reason, a season, or a lifetime. And then you're going to know, who are those people? Who are those people who are the ones they come for a reason? You meet them, you work with them, and then there was a season, somebody you work with, and it stayed for a while. And then there were some people like your family member that you have a good relationship, and Nicole or Laurie, those are my lifetime friends. So when do you know how to let it go? And it's just like whenever it's stressful to you, whenever you're talking, you're thinking about the friend, or you don't communicate, or and many times also people change because they're married, they're divorced, or they have children, so they have different relationships. So you have to as well know and be aware of that other person. And then to know, is that person fulfilling my needs as a friend? And you try all the best that you can be in that relationship. So it's just like if I would have continued to be unaware of what was hurting my friend Laurie, and then for her own sake, for her own health, she should have definitely change or can say, okay, we're not going to be friends anymore, or we can talk, or we email, or eventually fade away in each other's lives. So if that person, whatever you do the best you can, and the person doesn't fulfill the need, if it's the person you want to be with, somebody you can talk to, the person who just like your life is a cake, and that person is icing in the cake, and when you think about that person, your heart go pitter-patter, like when you're in love, you're talking about the lover or some family member that you're very close to, then you have to end the relationship as well. So in closing, let me have some tips that I've written for what to do for a friendship. Whenever Friends are very important in your life. They're part of your health. They're part of people who go to be there to be with you. The least friends you have, the more likely for you to be sick. So I'm going to read the steps. So in order to be a good friend, first you have to be your own best friend. This means taking the time to nurture yourself, forgive yourself, and heal the childhood trauma issues that are causing you to be unhealthy. Two, you need to be able to love, accept yourself as you are. Otherwise, you will not be able to love and accept other people. Next, as you grow older, your parents, siblings, relatives, and old friends can become your best friends. Take time to forgive them, pass from past hurt, and make amends. Next, each friend can support you in a different aspect of your life. So I have many friends, and each one, like it's a cake, a slice of the cake, each one of them fulfill that need. As a woman, it can be difficult to understand a man's thoughts and behaviors. Having friends of both sexes to help you sort things out can be invaluable. My ex-husband is my best friend, I could say. He lives in another state. We talk, and I can talk to him about everything, and I nurture it. I miss him, when I talk to him, and I say, we could have had this friendship when you were married, but it couldn't happen, but now we are best friends. Because having a man friend that you can have a platonic relationship with is invaluable, and I have many friends like that. And a friendship must be nurtured. Friendship must be reciprocated. Being a good friend means knowing when to talk and when to listen. Be honest with your friends. Speak up when something is bothering you and expect your friend to do the same. Take the time frequently to let your friends know how important they are to you. For example, my friend Laurie has a cat. So I will go and get like a box of little plastic box of 365 of them so she can pick up the poop in the litter, something like that. And then remember that friends come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, and it's okay to let friend go if you go apart. And last but not least, be receptive to new friends throughout your life as your lifestyle and interests change.
Well, those were all very excellent tips, especially about accepting yourself, forgiving yourself, developing platonic relationships with people of the opposite sex to get very honest feedback, and making sure that your friends are serving the purpose that you need them to provide for you. If their lives are changing and your life is changing as well, having a friend of a different sex is good because you can understand, or it may be difficult to understand the thoughts of a man if you are a woman. And friendships must be nurtured. They got to be reciprocated. And being an active listener, knowing when to talk and then when to listen, and being able to be honest with one another. And also taking the time to let people know that they're important to you. My neighbors, I buy things for them. When I go to the store, I see little things for their kids. I just pick them up, and maybe something that costs $5 or whatever, and they reciprocate all the time. You know, I was a time when I was ill, and my neighbors would automatically just bring my trash cans in for me, things like that. So you're very correct with the things that you're saying here, and being receptive to having new friends throughout your life as your lifestyle and interests change. Some people become hermits. Mm-hmm. They stay to themselves. They don't get out very much. And friends come into your life for a reason. And it's okay to let a friend go if you grow apart. And that's something I've had to do in terms of not drinking and not using other mind-altering drugs. I had to let those people go. I realized they really weren't my friends. They were just drinking partners. And so I've made changes in my life. So all of the things that you're saying here, I've been able to apply to my life. Any other words of wisdom for our audience before we close, Dr. Kettle?
And it's just like, I don't think it's very important, is always remember to tell the person that you're your friend whenever with time you have with them, and whenever you have an opportunity to tell them you love them and how important they are to you. I'll come and say, have I told you lately that I love you? And then Laurie, and she'll smile and she'll laugh. And I do that to my family and everything, because you never know when the, one of us is going to go, and it's just like, and part of, you know, things is how to heal your life, and that's what my book is about, is how to heal your life, and I take the time to write a chapter on friendship, because part of it is nurturing yourself and nurturing friendship, and then you're more likely to be in good health. So nurture those who love you, tell them you love them, and every opportunity you have.
Now, you also have an action plan, right? The question was, who are three people in my life I can call true friends? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, it's just like for example, it's been shown that you need at least, the more friends you have, the more people you can have that is important to you, the better. And then so it's just like, find out three people that you will consider that close person. And if not, what you're going to do to the people that are not too close to you, and you're going to make them be as close. So that will be, if you cannot have three, me, I have maybe 10 people, because I make sure that I've nurtured the people, whether friends or family members, not blood related, I nurture that. So I am in very good health, and I can write about it. It's because I have done that. So you should have at least have three people that you can do that with. So write them down. Who are they? Do you have them? Great. If not, how are you going to go and culture and cultivate those friendships? Because it's as good as healthy, eating well, exercise and everything. This is exercise your soul and keep you healthy.
So you're saying that having friends is very important in terms of maintaining one's health. You have people that you can rely upon, people that are nurturing to you, and people that you can nurture as well. All of those things are integral in terms of maintaining good health. And you try to keep at least 10 friends that are close like that.
No, three. I'm saying three close friends. Well, some people don't even, maybe some people might say one or two. I have lived in many different countries. I have kept in touch with people. I have friends from all walks of life. I have friends who speak French, I have friends who speak Spanish, I have friends who speak Hebrew, I have friends who speak Haitian, English. So I have friends all walks of life, and many that I can consider very close friends. So, and I might, because I've always known as important, that's what I included in the book. So, but if you, at least you should have three, because that's what studies have shown, the more, at least three, that's the cut number. So if you don't have that, you better start working on it and take the time. And if somebody was in your life and goes, let's say the person might move away and then things change or get sick or something, then you go and find yourself another friend. You do. That's what friendship is about.
So what I hear you saying is that you're active in nurturing and developing friendship, keeping the ones that you have as healthy as possible, but also being able to reach out to others and develop additional friendly relationships, having at least three close friends, but the more you have, the better.
The better. And like I say, they can be, and I use the metaphor of the cake, each one has a different slice. It could be the friend you go to a movie, so somebody can talk about something. If you have a book, there's our friends who do specific things in my life. And I know they're smart, and then if I want an idea, and I'll say, and then I have dear friends who get together, and it could be I have patients who have a legal problem, and then instead of having to go and get a very expensive lawyer to deal with it, so we find out more or less, or it's a patient with a consult, and then I have people that I could call, because they can call me. Those are the people, because we're both busy, but they can call me if they have a client or patients with difficult problems, and they can call me and say, I have this patient, I have this or this client, this is happening, what do you think? And I will use my laser focus intuition, and they tell me a few things. I say, oh, that's what's happening. So it's just like being able to do that as well. So those people, they reciprocate. So the lawyers, the coaches, the psychologists, they all different kinds. So then I can call in, and when it comes to a patient's reference that I need. So I do have a large base of friends and to they count me as their friends, and they know they can count on me. But also, I have boundaries. You know, one thing, you know, we need to be mentioned. They have to have boundaries. And some friends, they feel that they can call you anytime. So, but the kind of friendship that I have with the people is a mutual respect. And then we don't take advantage of your friends. And then those are the ones you let go when they know they don't have any healthy boundaries in them. For example, I met somebody. I don't use my cell phone very often. But if you have my cell phone, it's that, oh, this is private, intimate. And then I met somebody. We were talking and, okay, we're starting a friendship and things like that. And then she has my cell phone. But then I realized this person, it was a reason we've met, and then that was okay. But that person wanted me to be their friend, and then she wanted to be her friend. And then at the time I realized, wait a minute, she will always call when she needs something, and sometimes in the middle of something, and using my cell phone. And then so I would tell her one day, she called me at 9:30 in the evening. I said, you know what, this is not... I don't take call after 9 o'clock. I try to tell her. So she, when she did that the next time, I just block it. So I have very healthy boundaries in my life, in my relationship. So people who know me and respect me and know I can be there for you. But then also, if I'm busy, you cannot be taking time from me. So that's what I'm saying. You have to love yourself and nurture yourself so you don't take advantage, because I don't have no need for somebody to love me or somebody to be my friend. And I say, no, I am my best friend. Then because I'm my best friend and I nurture myself, my mind, my soul, my body, then I have people in my life who bring the icing. And then so you have to be very careful about boundaries, and people say, quote, they are your friends, but then realize it's a one-way street. I don't have that kind of friendship. These don't have no friendship. They're not friends. They are, unless you have a feeling that a codependent, you mentioned it before, you're codependent and you feel that you have to be loved and everything. I don't have that need. I know that I'm busy and I feel my interaction with others has to be mutually uplifting. And if it doesn't, I cut it. And it's, you don't have people. Some people, all the person is calling. Nobody needs to call you. And even we're talking about a parent. You can have a parent. I have a patient, and a mother was so abusive, and then wanted to be continue to be abusive. I said no. And she's an adult. I said no. You don't. She can be your mother or your sister, and you can show that boundaries and say, okay, if you say, I don't want you to say this to me, you, one of the things, the last person I did a consult with, it's just like the person who was causing the most difficulty in her life was a mother. And I said, what I needed to do, one of the homework she had to do was take a piece of paper, put it landscape-wise, and put three columns. A, what do I want in a relationship with my mother? B, what I would compromise, and C, what I will not accept, the deal breaker. And sometimes you might have a family member that you check out in your life because they are the one who makes you sick. They are the one who makes you sick. So, and then you have to be clear, but before you be clear, you have to be clear with yourself. What do you want in your life? It's just like, I want, my goal in any relationship is you bring you bring, you're the icing. Whether it's an intimate relationship with siblings or with friends or with work or whatever I do, I don't do things that because then and whenever I feel like this, no. I feel time is too precious, then it's being taken away from me and I get sick. So I don't. So if the person is, like I said, people feel that they have to be friends with a relative. You don't. You can say hi. You can be cordial. You don't. You can control. You can control all your life. You can say no. You can decide whatever you're going to do in any relationship, whether it's an intimate children, whomever. So, and that's when you become healthy, because if you don't have those healthy boundaries in all these aspects in your life, you're going to be sick.
So what I'm hearing you discuss is the necessity to have boundaries so that you're not being codependent, but also
mm-hmm.
have boundaries so that you don't allow detrimental things to come into your life. Like, I don't allow people to come into my life that drink excessively or that are constantly
mm-hmm.
having to borrow money from me and take money from me, or people that steal or do things irresponsibly out into the public, because you can get into trouble yourself being with this person if they're shoplifting and things like that. So I have to have boundaries, even for my relatives. It's what you're saying. You have to be able to eliminate even relatives from your life because they can make you sick. So having friends can be healthy and keep you healthier, but at the same time, if they're not the icing on the cake, if they're not bringing positivity into your life, then they can be very detrimental to your health as well.
Of course. They can be. They will be. And it's, they will be. So you have the aging process, you have work. There were things, for example, even when I talk about stressors like your work, if you're having a job and then it's causing you a lot of grief, you have to start, have a plan B. It's anything. Anytime you're in any situation where you feel you have no way out, you can control. You can have the control of your life. And like I said, by doing so, you have to feel you're worth it. You have to feel, hey, I am worth it. I deserve the best. My friendship has to be nurturing for me. And you put your rules. I've paid my dues, and I have very clear boundaries in every area of my life. So, and sometimes it takes time to, maybe mulling it. Oh, maybe I would, but then I cannot waste any energy in anything if it doesn't work for me. I have to let it go. So it doesn't matter if the person is a parent or somebody who are friends. We talked about friendship now, and it's just like there has to be the mutual respect and mutual give and take. Mm-hmm. And things constantly change, so that's why we have to reinvent, recalibrate and everything and see what it is, so you don't, otherwise you're going to be stressed. And that's what's detrimental. You're on the flight or fight, and then those are all these hormones, all these stressors that are causing you to be sick. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I have had to implement in order to help myself and be my best friend is not really to get involved with people who don't understand healthy communication, who don't understand how to be nonviolent communicators, people who are not able to express themselves on a feeling level, that tend to rationalize, justify, and minimize in their actions. I found that those things are very hurtful to me when I become involved with people who are incapable of practicing the principles of nonviolent communication, and that many people are communicating violently and not even being aware of it. Have you found it to be true as well, Dr. Kettle?
I have very healthy boundaries in my relationship. I decide who and how I communicate, and I let people know. And the people, the patients, are the people who I consult with, who are having problems, difficulty setting boundaries in areas of their lives, work or friends or any area. So, again, one of the things I tell them, it is very simple. Anytime you There are two things. Whenever you are with somebody and there is some difficulty, it could be, it's both ways. It could be you or it could be the person. So you need to take some time. If any time, you know, the name of the person or the thinking about that person and it's causing your heart pitter-patter and or you feel, oh, there is a negative energy or something, and then you'll say, is there something, is there something wrong with it? But what it is, and then write it out. That's what is good. Journaling is the best thing you could do. And just say what it is and then start thinking, okay, was I wrong in that relationship? Because when you learn about yourself and you learn about a friend, you're going to learn about every area of your life. It's the same thing, except the person has, quote, a different, you're my daughter, you're my son, you're my mother, you're my father, or you're my friend, or you're my lover, or you're my coworker. It's the same thing. It's the same skills that you need. So you, whenever something is not working, clearly ask, why is it not working? And you find it out, you write it out. When you, from your brain to your subconscious, clarity by writing it out. And it sometimes could be your fault. Like, it was my fault 15 years ago when I had difficulty with my friend. It was my fault because I didn't listen to her. So, but I wanted that friendship. So I had to change myself. And you can never change another person. You can always change yourself. So I did that. And then, so then we're able to have it and being aware. But if you don't know what it is, take a piece of paper. Again, three columns. What do I want in this relationship? What will I will compromise? And what is the deal breaker? And it becomes clear. Write it out. Write it down. Okay. In this relationship, I want the person to listen to me. We want better communication. And then column B, you could say, you know, sometimes the person might talk, you know, a little loud or something, but that's the way the person is. I'll compromise with that. And then I will just say, lower your voice, man, or something like that. But if the person is, you know, like disrespectful, that's the deal breaker. So it's each, there is no one size fits all. Each one is different. So each person has to write it down. In any relationship, anything, as a matter of fact, you can do it for anything in your life.
So that's something that I'm starting to implement as well, is having a checklist. You know, whereas there are deal breakers, as you say, there are things that I just can't tolerate. Because I believe the first time when things happen in a negative way, I'm ignorant. But the second, third, and fourth time, it's stupid, you know, to fall into the same type of trap and continue to practice behaviors that are not being constructive for my life. And so I wholeheartedly agree with you in terms of putting up boundaries, not being codependent, not allowing people to take advantage of me, and picking and choosing the relationships that I want to be involved in. And also embracing healthy relationship techniques.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And we are in charge of our life. When we are in charge and we know what we want in our lives, whom we want to be friends with, whom we want to be intimate with, whom we want, it doesn't matter when friends could be your neighbor, it could be your mother, or your father, it could be your child. And when you're an adult, because you have a teen, you can then be your friend. And they have different thing anyway. So unless they need something from you, so the when you're an adult and they are surrounding their own children, and then you can understand, or they become an adult, mature adult, then you know. Because would you want it? Just ask something for you if you have a somebody we're related to, would you like the person to be your friend? And that's the question. I don't want to be that person's friend. Doesn't matter if we're related or not, so you know. You have to gain the privilege to be my friend, whomever you are. And I'm very good to my friends. That's what my friends say. Yeah, I'm very good to my friends with boundaries, because I have healthy boundaries. I see so many people without boundaries. I can do that, and you know, I can count on you. I can, they know that. But then we have to do it within my own boundaries, because the, for example, I'm writing. I do consults. I work part time at the clinic. So, for me to be able to take extra time to be with somebody or to, isn't on the phone or anything, it takes energy. And I said, I am very comfortable with myself. So, it's, so the people I have in my life, they honor that. That's a true friend, when they honor you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've actually gone into the whole hour. We only have about three minutes left here. We have been talking with Dr. Carol, and we've been discussing the power of true friendships in this particular segment, segment number 19. And next week, we're going to be talking about giving in segment 20. And I've gotten a lot out of this particular segment. It appears as though whenever we do these shows, it's exactly what I need to hear, and also something which reinforces things that I already know. So we have just under 3 minutes left. Dr. Carol, did you have any type of conclusion you want to leave with the audience?
Same thing. When anytime there is anything that is not working in your life, whether it's in your, at work, or your intimate relationship, or friends, neighbors, your environment, any area of your life, only you can take control of it. Only you can take charge of it. Only you can change yourself, because you can change others. And in order to do so, you have to know what you want. You have to know what your limitations. You have to know what you expect from others and what you give to others. So it's just like, so you learn having the healthy boundaries in your life and what you expect from others. And it's a clear defined way. And you just like, my friends know things they can ask me, things they won't do, things I won't accept. And I can be very abrupt in a certain way, because I guess maybe because, like my sister said, I was raised like a man, because I was really a tomboy. And then also I was trained in medicine. I was trained in surgery, and I always have to know exactly what I'm doing. If I have to, they call me 2 o'clock in the morning and I have to do surgery, whether I send the patient home, whether I admit the patient in the hospital, or I do operate on the patient. So I have had that training where I have to be clear. So I apply it in my life, and so I always use that same mentality that many women don't, because women many times feel they have to, want the person to love them, and they put up with many things, and they end up coming to see me, or they end up going to see the doctors because they are ill from that.
We only have less than 60 seconds left, Dr. Carol, right now.
Oh, okay. Any area of your life that is not working, especially when it comes to relationship with others, you better find out what is working, what is not working. Find out what you want, what you will compromise, and what is the deal breaker.
Now, this is Walter David with Progress in the World Radio Show. If you need a second opinion for a medical condition or surgery, you're stuck in any area of your personal life, relationship, or career, need answers that will empower you, visit the website of Dr. Carol at drcarol.com. I want to thank all of you that are listening to this in the archive. Please share this with your family, friends, and constituents via social media. This is Walter Davis coming to you from beautiful Canyon Lake, California, and thank you very much.